When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey everyone, we're going to do something a little different this week and start out with a horror hot seat, a rapid fire edition of some questions before we roll into things. And we are going to keep things positive. We're not going to dive too far into, let's say, less positive feelings if we have them. We're just going to go around the table and answer a few questions real quick. First up, and we will be talking about this more in the news, so we aren't going to delve too much into it now, but Blumhouse and Lionsgate's brand new take on the Blair Witch Project. Yay or nay? I will start with nay, but I need to explain in the news segment. I'm not going to explain it now. I'll explain it more in the news segment because, as we were talking about a little bit before we started recording, there has been feelings about this one from those involved and those originally involved, and we'll talk about that more later. How about you, Megan? Yay or nay?
Nay.
Zena?
Oh, wow. Okay. I said yay. Live your best life.
Okay. Nope. Totally get it. I understand, and I will explain more why I was not a yay. Not just because I love the original, but I'll explain. And next question. If you had to choose, do you prefer horror movies with a happy ending or not? Zena, you first.
Okay, I hate it, but I love an unhappy ending because I feel like it sticks with me, those shocking type of endings.
Sure. Megan?
If I had to choose, I mean, I appreciate a dark ending, but I feel like for Final Girls to go through all of that, or whoever survivors are to go through all that and have more unhappy endings than not, I probably wouldn't be as into horror as I am.
Sure. It's kind of a qualified answer that I won't, again, dive too much into. If it's too brutal, I want a happy ending in some way, shape, or form.
Have to choose, though. Qualifiers, though.
Then yeah. Happy. Then,
yeah, that's the rule.
All right, happy. I would rather have happy. I'm not, but it's like a 51-49. Because there's so many qualifiers. Overall, I'll say happy. I don't dislike unhappy. Ah, damn it. We'll just move on.
Yeah.
I can talk in circles. Follow the rules.
Yeah, sorry.
Follow the rules.
I'm a rule breaker, clearly.
No. We all are. That's why we're sticking to the rules.
Okay. Recommend one of your favorite daytime horror movies and why this time. Megan, you first.
Tremors.
That's a good one. Why?
It is a good one. Because it's a good one. No, I know that's too generic. Because we love creature features, mm-hmm. and we love when we can see the creatures. I feel like it not just spotlights the work, but we get to see some monster fun. So, yeah.
Zena?
I'm going to go a wrong turn. I know the franchise gets a little wonky. but, you know, I just
a little bit.
I couldn't imagine, you know, taking a road trip or just driving someplace and then your car breaks down. And then next thing you know, there are these mountain monster. I know that they're not really monsters, but they're terrible, you know, cannibalistic men, you know. So, yeah, I feel like anyone's car could break down. So it just kind of like felt a little bit realistic. And even though I do carry mace, I don't think that that would help me, you know.
No, not with an arrow.
Yeah.
They got range.
I'm going to go. I mean, I guess I have to say Jaws at this point because I don't have to, but it is.
The last question you had to. Now you don't have to.
But it is my favorite all time.
Okay.
Like there are others that are up there, but I mean, I apologize for answering Jaws for about 20% of all questions, I suppose, but it is my favorite daytime horror movie. All right, next, who would win in a fight, Pearl from X or the Pearl from X? Really?
She's the old woman.
No, I know. Okay, that changes my answer a little bit. Or Mother from Barbarian. See, now if it was Pearl from Pearl, I'd have said Pearl. But it's Pearl from X, so I'm saying Mother. I just don't think Pearl can keep up with Mother. How about you, Zena?
Yeah, you know what? I agree. I think that Mother is a scorned, unstoppable mom. So she's going to do what she needs to do.
Fair. Megan?
I'm more interested in how this dynamic would work. Like, would Mother not want Pearl as a daughter because they're on the same playing field ish kind of? Or how would this work? How would she? Because all mom wants is to be a mom and to punish her children that are getting out of line.
But do you think Pearl would want to be someone's daughter?
Oh, no. There's a complete rejection there. So maybe you're right. So she would reject mom. I don't know why I'm just shortening her to mom instead of the mother, but whatever. Yeah, I think Pearl would probably pick a fight and then she'd get clobbered.
But I could see that scenario, though, where Mother looks at Pearl and is like, too old, and turns her back, and Pearl takes offense to it, then like hits her in the back with an axe or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
In a straight fight, Mother. All right. Finally, what's one of your irrational fears? We only have time for one, folks.
Just one.
I mean, you have more, I guess, but
Zena, let's start with you. Yeah, let's start with you, Zena. I don't know.
Okay. All right. This is going to sound so silly. And I think it comes from when I watched this movie called The Next 3 Days from 2010. So what if I'm just walking and a piece of my hair blows onto a crime scene where someone was killed and then they link it back to me and I have to go to jail? Or what if I'm walking and someone bumps into me, like in the movie, The Next 3 Days, this happened to this woman. Someone bumped into her with blood on their hands and the police blamed her and she went to jail. I wouldn't survive in jail. I just wouldn't. Wouldn't that be crazy? What am I going to do?
That has got to be the shoddiest police detective work ever, to be like, you have a single fingerprint of blood on you. You're the culprit.
Yeah. They don't know what else to do.
I mean, there's worse
cases. Step one, we got to get you to not hang out at crime scenes.
But what if I'm just walking and I didn't know it was a crime scene? I'm just walking. You know,
I think they're pretty clearly marked. I think
if not, but what then Zena walks with her eyes closed because she doesn't see the splattered blood everywhere.
I don't know,
she's
guys.
Walking down the street.
Someone could just be dead after mowing their lawn or something. Something happened, and then just a piece of my hair just flies.
We need a cartoon of Zena walking by a lawn full of dead bodies and being like, I don't know what happened.
Oh, what if it's covered by a bush? How am I supposed to know? I have to check bushes.
Oh my god, you just uncovered one of my irrational fears. I was kind of struggling for irrational, but this is a good one that I haven't thought about for a little while. So I have a riding lawnmower now for our lawn.
Okay.
But I used to just have a walk behind, and it was a very crappy, very cheap walk behind that would get clogged and all this other stuff. I have an irrational fear of either one, running over a rock and the rock shooting out and like hitting one of my children.
Oh no.
Or the lawnmower being really crappy and the blade detaches and shoots out and cuts my feet off.
Okay, that one's more irrational. I feel like running over a rock and it flying is not so, like, yeah. I think that's rational.
That's rational. But just having, yeah.
Just having, like, Final Destination yeah. or My Bloody Valentine, mm-hmm. like, weapons flying off into the audience, like that, okay.
I still remember mowing my lawn once in my old house and going through, like, this full cycle of loss, imagining having one or both of my feet cut off by my lawnmower. And, like, I got to, like, catharsis by the end of it. Like, well, you know what? Do I really need my feet that much? But I'm still nervous just about every time.
Well yeah. I don't know what to tell you. Like, how do you just, you just get on that thing every time and every week you face your fears that you're going to walk, you're not going to walk away from that lawnmower.
Well, I'm fine now because it's a riding lawnmower. I don't like walk behinds.
Yeah.
What if, like, the floor to it breaks and then your feet, like, get stuck and then... You know, I don't know.
Why, Zena? Why would you do that to me?
Sorry. Get boots. Maybe
my neighbors are going to get so mad. I'm not going to mow my lawn at all this year. And they are going to get so upset.
You know how infomercials are really great about selling solutions to problems that people don't have?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like.
Has this ever happened to you?
And no, nobody cooks this way to have this crazy hexagonal pot for their eggs. Like, it's not a thing.
Nobody has ever dumped pasta out like that.
Right. So what I'm saying is maybe you can turn this irrational phobia into, like Zena said, you need some lawn mowing boots to protect
yeah.
your feet from getting cut off below the ankles from the lawnmower blades.
So what I
and
really,
that could be a whole thing.
What I really need to do is I need to gaslight a good portion of the country into having the same fear so that I can sell the solution that they
but
didn't
But that's what
need.
The infomercial's for.
Yeah.
Because you demonstrate. Yeah. How this you dramatize how this could go, and then they're like suddenly like, oh my gosh, that's a problem I didn't realize I had. Give me those boots.
Did
you would
know,
make millions?
Yeah.
Did you know that upwards of one American every year loses a foot to a lawnmower accident? Do you want to be that one?
No.
Well, no.
You get around it by putting the fine print. You know.
Yeah.
It's like you exaggerate and then asterisk at the tiny bottom, like
dot dot dot.
It's actually just one, not 1 million. But who's counting?
Yeah, the anything after the comma doesn't exist. Ignore all that.
Yeah.
Okay, Megan, you're up.
I don't have anything near as creative as having my feet cut off by a lawnmower.
I didn't know that was going to unsurface personally.
Mine is pretty basic and silly. What is it? Thalassophobia, just being out in deep sea water with all of the potential creatures that are going to...
That's a big one for my wife. Yeah.
And it's irrational because I don't go out there. I'm never going to go out there. Why am I worried that a vampire squid from, like, the Marianas Trench is going to eat my ass? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know, Megan. I'm thinking of ideas of how it could happen now. But I won't say it because it's just like, how does that happen? I don't know. What if you just wake up one day and then you're just out in the middle of the ocean and you don't have a phone?
That's a good start to a horror movie.
I think it is a good start, but I also, with me, I'd just be like, well, I guess I'm going to pull the open water ending, and I won't say what because
yeah,
you may not have seen it, but I think that's the only option I got.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to think about any of these. Frankly, I'd take Xena's over ours. Like, Xena's. I'd rather be convicted of. No, I wouldn't. Dang it. That's more likely. I don't want that either. It's fine.
No.
It's fine. Let's talk about things we do want. Speaking of which, okay. Welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast, everyone, the podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world. And to help us discuss the disgusting, you know her as lead movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic and journalist Megan Navarro. Hey, Megan.
Hello.
You know her from YouTube channel, website Real Queen of Horror, and her infinite love for the genre, and the head of Bloody Disgusting's TikTok, Zena Dixon. Hey, Zena.
Hello.
And I'm John. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday when the episode drops, we hope your week's been filled with all the best kinds of horror, and you have paid your taxes, and you don't have to worry about it anymore, and that horror is done for another year, and this is the longest point until the next time you have to worry about that again. This is not an irrational fear. This is a constant fear for me. I hate taxes so much.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
So we're going to talk about happy things. We're going to do our round the table for the movies, books, games, or anything else in horror that are making the three of us smile right now. Maybe there'll be things that'll make you smile too. So I'm going to start this week just because I struggled a little bit this week finding stuff. I started some new things and didn't have the best time, didn't get a chance to get to the movie theater. I do really want to see The Omen, just didn't work out. But what I did find on Tubi was a new documentary from 2023 called The Exorcist Untold. This new documentary gives an insight into the one of the most groundbreaking horror films of all time, the infamous The Exorcist. So I've probably seen more documentary and listened to more documentary and behind the scenes and stuff on The Exorcist than I have for any other, maybe any other movie or any other event. I don't have any idea why. It's not like I see Get Out. I think I've talked about it on the show before that The Exorcist isn't my favorite horror movie. I don't even know if I would call it like in my top 10, but for some reason, maybe it's like the haunted aspect of it, you know, like the haunted production, whatever. Mm-hmm. Another documentary about it. And this one is interesting because it's almost more how The Exorcist happened. It's not production. It's not haunted behind the scenes, stuff like that. It really is the, how did William Friedkin start working with William Blatty?
Makes sense.
Yeah, William Friedkin.
Like, it says untold. How much is untold?
Exactly. Well, that was kind of what I was wondering. I was like, what at this point hasn't been told about The Exorcist? It's like a new Jaws documentary or something.
Right.
But this one is really more about the relationship, like in Hollywood, how the book really happened in the first place. There's a really interesting story about how the book really exploded. And it's actually thanks to Robert Shaw being an alcoholic. And so kind of completely unrelated, but I don't want to give away the story for people who want to watch the documentary. So there is some kind of interesting, how did this actually get made stuff turning into this insane pop culture and horror revolution. So yeah, check it out. It's on Tubi. It's, I don't even think it's an hour and a half. I think it's more around the hour range or so. But if you like that behind the scenes stuff, the how did this get made type of thing, totally recommend it. Exorcist Untold. And then I still kept struggling for things to watch. So I turned on Shudder, closed my eyes, and pressed a button, and I got 1986's Spookies.
What a roulette.
Yeah, it was one way to go. A wicked sorcerer tries to sacrifice a group of people inside his house with the intention of using their vitality to keep his wife alive. How many horror movies involve a mad scientist or a sorcerer or a bereaved husband trying to keep his wife alive or reanimate or possess her spirit? It wasn't until this that I really realized, oh my God, I have seen movies about this. A lot. There's a startling number of movies about dudes who cannot let go of a dead woman and need to kill someone else to bring her back to life. And this one is by far the most bonkers of all of them. The combination of the number of creatures that get used without really any explanation as to why the creatures are there.
There's no explanation for any of this movie.
No, none of it. There seems to be a lot of backstory amongst, we'll call them the second set of main characters, I suppose, because it kind of starts out with one main character, and then he's gone. And then you get the second group that seems to know each other but doesn't like each other and is coming from another party, but these group of people would never hang out together in the first place. It's very, like, the whole dynamic, I don't get. It's really weird. It's very, very silly. If you're looking for campy, This is it. Like, this is, it's called Spookies. I mean, that's what you get. But it's cheesy and silly. And if you're looking for something more lighthearted that I think is trying to be scary, but isn't, go ahead, check out Spookies on Shudder.
I think you're burying the lead a little bit. The cell isn't the schlock factor, although that is on prominent display. Mm. It's that it's nonstop with the creatures.
Yeah.
Nonstop.
Nonstop. Mm-hmm.
It's like Candyland, but instead of going through all the different, like, you know, Candyman and glorious lollipop, lollygagger, whatever, you're going through different creature. You're moving through this board game, and it's farting muckmen and crazy spider woman. And, like, there's sound effects that just make it cartoonish to accompany these crazy creatures. Yeah, it's a creature feature in the weirdest way.
It's kind of like a studio's, like, hey, we've got all these extra monsters in our makeup department and our FX department that we've never used. Should we get movies for all of them? No. Let's just put them all in one movie. And then
it was a
never
very troubled
them.
Production, though.
Well, that would that would stand to reason. It's very disjointed.
I think that there was like a whole shift of crew like halfway through for various troubled reasons. But yeah, there was a lot of problems behind the scenes in this movie.
Totally makes sense. It feels like potentially three or four different movies all kind of pushed together a little bit. So why would I recommend something like that? Because it's what I watched. And I didn't dislike it so much that I wouldn't tell someone else that I did. It's silly. It's campy. It's background noise. If you're working at home or something, you can do it. Or if you like just to see how campy and silly this stuff can get, Spookies in 1986.
I mean, I think that this one might deserve an Oscar just because I feel like
it got
it
made.
And then it also gives us stuff that we didn't know that we needed. You know, there's a lot of fun things going on. Remember okay, one of my favorite scenes, it involves like steam coming out of someone's head.
Yeah.
You see it just shooting out.
Yeah.
That's cool.
All right.
What do you get to see that at? Give it an Oscar.
It really is. Maybe this is the original Spirit, the Halloween story.
That I could get. Like, this is the unofficial prequel.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple creatures in there that look like they're animatronics now in that store. So, yeah.
Who knows? Go check it out. Go check it out for yourself. Megan, what'd you watch?
I watched Abigail. I recommend everybody go see that in theaters this weekend because it's a good time. And if you don't know, it's a group of criminals. They don't know each other, but they are hired to kidnap a ballerina daughter of a powerful underworld figure. And their job after they do this is to hole up in a mansion for 24 hours until they get this really nice ransom. But they don't know until it's too late that they were played and they're locked inside with a monster. Hmm. And this is the new movie from Radio Silence, and it's got really great cast. And it's that cast that makes this movie so much fun because plot-wise, just like setup, it's a lot like Ready or Not. Hmm. Bunch of people in a mansion. It is kind of a little bit like a slasher in that sense of how it plays out, but it's just so much fun because the cast is hysterical. Like Dan Stevens, he made his character, or he drew inspiration for his character from I Think You Should Just Leave. Kevin Duran plays the himbo brawn of the operation, and boy, does the himbo part land when it comes to the humor. Catherine Newton is hilarious. I mean, it's a really great cast, and it does spill quite a lot of blood. So if you like really fun characters having a ball and an excessive amount of bloodshed, then like definitely go see this on the big screen this weekend. Mm. So, yeah. And then complete opposite from modern gory vampire movie, I watched The Fury. This is Brian De Palma's 1978 film. It's currently on Max. And this one is a former CIA agent who uses the talents of a young psychic to help find and retrieve his telekinetic son from a shadowy secret government agency. I don't think a lot of people talk about The Fury anymore, which is a shame because it's a really good one. Kirk Douglas is the CIA agent looking for his dad. So it really almost doesn't feel like a horror movie for a large part of it because it opens with this crazy action sequence on a beach in the Middle East somewhere. And he's constantly trying to evade the government agency. So it's like he's on the run. So it doesn't really play like your horror movie until the telekinesis stuff starts coming in. Like, his son is very powerful. The woman he's enlisted, who is Amy Irving from Carrie, they get a little Scanners-esque in this movie. So it's like Scanners meets an espionage movie almost, and it's really good.
Awesome. How about you, Zena?
So I checked out Arcadian. It's currently in theaters, but April 4th to April 7th, it was the Overlook Film Fest. So I covered it for Lady Discussing's TikTok virtually. It was pretty cool. So yeah, nice. I didn't really know what to expect with this one. I didn't watch the trailer. I did see a picture of Nicolas Cage and he was bloody, and I knew, like, okay, it's the rules. You know, it's like this unspoken rule that when you see a bloody Nicolas Cage, you have to watch it. So yeah, I had a lot of fun with this one. It's basically about a father and his twin sons, and they have to fight to survive in a remote farmhouse. It's pretty much at the end of the world. And they throw you right in. You feel for the characters. And I love when movies, especially horror movies, they make me feel for the characters. Because can you imagine? And sometimes I'm sure this happens, or even happens, I'm sure you guys can relate to this, when you watch a movie and it's just like you could kind of care less what happens to the characters, you know, type of thing. But with this one, I did care about the characters. One of the things that I absolutely love about it is the creatures. The creature design is incredible. Like, I feel like I think I did watch the trailer afterwards, and they don't really show it. They show like little snippets that's like super fast. But yeah, I feel like this movie, it is a mix of like Critters, Pitch Black, A Quiet Place, and no one will save you. Like just like that type of mix going on. And I'll just leave it at that. I think that you should just check it out if you haven't. Again, it's like, I really loved it. I want everything. I want them to give us a sequel, you know, a series. Just give it to us all, you know. And then I also checked out Dead Male at Overlook as well. So this one, I'm not too sure when it's going to be released. I'm pretty sure it'll probably come out maybe this year. But this one is about, there's basically like this blood-stained letter that shows up in the 1980s at like this post office. And so this investigator, he begins to investigate it. So I just feel like this movie is the type of movie that will just kind of remind you why you should not talk to strangers. You know, at least that's the vibe that I was getting. And I love the fact that there is a character, without going too into it, there's a character that is just so dark, where it's just, you know, they look just fine, you know, but then there's just something off about this person. But yeah, I love the opening. I feel like it opens up with like grainy footage. Like, I love the way it looks. And there's a guy who's like, he's chained and he's crawling out of a house to a mailbox in the middle of nowhere. And he has this bloody letter. So it's kind of like you have to figure out like what happens. And that's one of the reasons why I really did enjoy it, because it's just kind of like, I had no idea where it was going. And I just felt like it was just filled with like, you know, tension. And plus, I love indie horror, like the whole vibe going on. Yeah. Like, so if you like mysteries, I feel like, you know, you should check this one out whenever it does come out. But I'm pretty sure I'll keep you guys updated on it.
Yeah, I don't know when it's coming. I don't think it's got a date yet. Maybe it does. But I remember, because I saw this at South By, and I thought it was so interesting, like how it was shot. And then it ends, and this is not a spoiler, but it's almost framed like this movie is a true story.
Right.
Until you read the end credits, and it's not a true story, but it feels like it could be. Like, this whole movie feels like this could be really true.
And then again,
it could happen.
I had no idea where it was going, you know? And I will say this though.
Yeah.
There are some parts, like the opening starts off with a bang, but in between there's some slow parts, but I feel like it'll be worth it. You just have to like hang on with that, you know?
It helps that there's some good characters, like the guy who does the dead male. Is it Jasper? Yes. Is that the characters? I loved him.
He was
sick. It's good characters.
Jeez.
I can't remember the other characters' names, but they're all great.
I can't wait to watch it again, because I feel like there was probably some stuff that I missed, you know? I feel like it's one of those movies.
Did you get to see a lot of stuff? I feel like I need to go look at TikTok for all your
reviews. No, I didn't get to see a lot of stuff, because a lot of them, they sadly weren't offering stuff remotely. Mm-hmm. And I could not make it out there because I had some other stuff to do. So, but I mean, I heard it was a blast, and I was keeping up with other people. Like, I know they did play Abigail, and I You know, I wanted to see Abigail and I wanted to see Cuckoo, but yeah, they didn't offer it remotely. There was a lot of titles that they didn't.
Okay, before we move on, what did we watch and how did we watch it? I watched 2023's documentary, The Exorcist Untold on Tubi, and 1986's Spookies on Shudder.
I watched Abigail, which is in theaters this Friday, and The Fury, which is on Max.
I checked out Arcadian at Overlook, but it's also in theaters, and Dead Male at Overlook. I'm not too sure when it will be out yet.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
All right, enough about what we've been watching this week. It's time for Megan to bring us up to speed on the news and trending topics in the world of horror. So what's going on, Megan?
I guess it's fitting that we talked about, you know, what our fears are and our favorite movies, because fresh off of the just-released action movie Mayhem, Javier Gens, who is behind Frontiers and Cold Skin, is back this June with Under Paris, and it's going to Netflix, and they've unleashed an official trailer for it, following the grand tradition of Jaws. A celebration turns into a PR nightmare when a hungry shark comes to Paris. Let that sink in for a minute, a shark coming to Paris. Well, if not, well, I'll explain. But Javier Gens, is it Xavier? Javier, I don't know. Under Paris, swimming its way onto Netflix on June 5th, it follows Sophia, a brilliant scientist who comes to know that a large shark is swimming deep in the river. So I'm guessing maybe it's a bull shark. Set in the summer of 2024, the film unfolds in Paris, which is hosting the World Triathlon Championships on the Seine for the first time. Sophia learns from Mika, a young environmental activist, that a large shark is swimming deep in the river. To avoid a bloodbath at the heart of the city, they have no choice but to join forces with Adil, the Seine River police commander. I love the idea of putting sharks in places like this that are maybe not a Sharknado or shark avalanche. but it is like, I don't know if you watched the trailer, but it looks like it could be legit, because shark horror is pretty commonplace. I feel like you can't have summer without shark horror, but this looks really good.
Yeah, the trailer actually, like, whatever CGI that they used for the shark effects and everything else, I was impressed. I was expecting, I think I'm just used to like the sci-fi channel type schlockiness of shark effects to the point where, or, you know, like the Meg and it's this giant shark or whatever. So it's like, oh, people can do regular sharks. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that is cool. I did see the news about it. I didn't watch the trailer, but I'm super excited that it's coming out on Netflix. In general, I do think that we need more shark horror movies, because there are a lot of ones that we have that's more silly, at least the ones I come across. So I like the fact that this one seems like it's more of a serious tone.
That's what I mean. It's like there's definitely some fun to be had with the sharks going all over the crazy places and ghost shark and water coolers or whatever. Like I like Santa Jaws, but I want sharks to be scary sometimes.
Yeah.
And this looks like this could be that. So yeah. And then something we also mentioned at the top, 25 years after the release of the original genre-changing classic, Lionsgate and Blumhouse announced out of CinemaCon last week that they will partner on the development and production of a new Blair Witch Project movie as the first film in a multi-picture pact with Blumhouse reimagining horror classics from the Lionsgate library. So I think that the news of them teaming up to do a new Blair Witch is definitely taking the limelight or the spotlight. But we should probably be having a conversation that they're going to be doing this a lot more with Lionsgate titles. I don't know what, but that's interesting. But Jason Blum will team with producer Roy Lee on the new Blair Witch Project movie. Lee previously produced the 2016 Blair Witch, the most recent installment of the franchise. I have been incredibly fortunate to work with Jason many times over the years. We forged a strong relationship with On the Purge when I was at Universal, and we launched STX with his film The Gift. We are thrilled to kick off this partnership with a new vision for Blair Witch that will reintroduce this horror classic for a new generation. We couldn't be more pleased to be working with them on this and the projects we look forward to revealing soon. That was from the probably the CEO at CinemaCon for Lionsgate that was announcing this. But yeah, the question is, what do you think that a new Blair Witch would have to do to entice the fans to the theaters or be successful? Because, you know, I know John will explain his nay at the top. Mine is, this has not been very successful since the first movie. The first movie was a sleeper hit. It came at just the right time when the internet was still fairly, it was Bambi still. You could pull the wool over people's eyes then because there was no fact checking like there is now. So since then, part two and the 2016 kind of sequel, legacy sequel, they didn't really set, there was no interest. So what do you think it would have to take to get people on board for this?
Well, let's not forget Book of Shadows, shall we?
That was part two. That's what I meant by part two.
And oh, I think they meant Blair Witch.
Yeah, both of them. Both of them did not do well. No,
and then the third one. Also didn't
do
well.
So the first one did well. I'm saying that
two didn't do well. Gotcha.
Correct.
Okay. It's Monday for us.
It is Monday. I probably made that clear as mud.
It's okay. The whole process is not clear, frankly. And I'll start off by saying that statement that was made about why they're doing it or whatever is ridiculous. No, you're not. You're not doing this to introduce the Blair Witch. You want to introduce it, you re-release it. That's your introduction just fine. This, to me, my main issue with this being remade, I generally don't care. My issue was is that I saw that there were some issues, like the original actors kind of being like, hey, you're using us in promotional material. We're not in this. You're not paying us. You're not associated with this. Like, I kind of felt bad for the original actors because the movie made so much money and they got maybe like a little bit on the back end. And now you're going to kind of piggyback off of that success and they'll once again not get paid. That bothers me. But also, like, the Blair Witch was a phenomenon because of a lot of the reasons, or all the reasons Megan said, coupled with found footage was new. Like, people didn't know what they were watching. It was a documentary to a lot of people. We had the Sci-Fi Channel documentary on top of it telling us, this is real. This is what happened. This is where we found the footage. People are missing. They stuck with the fact that people were missing through the premiere. Like, there were people, like, the actors were getting calls from family, terrified that they were gone. You can't recreate that anymore. Like, you can't. Like you said, the internet, simple. It's easy enough. So, like, trying to reproduce this seems like a really weird exercise in futility. Like, it's nothing but a money grab as far as they would have to do something so out of the box to really get me on board with this one. Me, it just doesn't seem like there's a point beyond, hey, we want to tread on this existing title to make more money.
I would like to think that they are going to, because there's no way that they can do anything but do something drastically different, because you can't just re-release the original, and I'm sure they will, but younger audiences are not into that movie. They've watched it. It's heralded as a classic, but I think that's now for older generations because it's too slow.
Unless they do something really brilliant, like with TikTok, and like figure out some way to get this really massive response on, like, did like teens trying to recreate the Blair Witch Project went just like whatever,
which they could.
But I think they need to. I don't think you can just make a Blair Witch movie because you're ignoring part of what made the original Blair Witch movie so popular and amazing in the first place.
Xena is a yay, so I'm very curious for you to weigh in. What you're excited for.
So it's not so much about being excited for it. It's just more like I'm open to it. So I agree with everything that you guys are saying, but even with John was saying, with this new one, I'm pretty sure they're going to do something with social media. You know, they might even put some social media stars in it, or people who are like the younger early 20s, you know, actors in it to appeal to the younger audience. Like, I don't feel like they're making it for the older crowd. I don't feel like they're trying to, which this is the case over and over again. I don't feel like they're trying to make something for the original fans. I think that they're trying to get new fans. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And as we talked about previously, clearly we still have the original one. And then on top of that, something that I was seeing online is, which nothing's wrong with it. If you're against it, that's fine. Everybody has like their opinion. But, you know, I still feel like people are going to go see it. You're still going to go see it. You're still going to, you know, pay your money to check it out. And kind of what you said already, Megan, it's just like they're going to be remaking a lot of other properties. So, like, I really love Roy Lee. Like, he has his hands in some awesome projects like Boy Kills World, Baghead, which I just spoke about. And I'm still waiting to hear about more news about Battle Royale because I heard that they're rebooting that. And just a whole bunch of stuff, you know? So I feel like this is a conversation that I feel like we've had plenty of times, even on the podcast. It's going to happen. So you have a choice. Like, it's not a requirement. You don't have to watch it. But I will say this, though. I do feel like some can say that it's a money grab and not saying that it isn't. I don't know, you know? But I do feel like they are doing it for the younger crowd because I remember a couple of years ago when Candyman, the new Candyman, Nia DaCosta's Candyman was released, there was a girl who, a woman, she's a woman, she was born in 2002, and she has never seen the original Candyman. She never even heard of it, but she was so excited to see the new one. And it's just like, oh, okay, and that makes a lot of sense, you know, for someone at her, you know, around her age group. Like, I have, you know, nephews who just turned 15, 16 years old. And when they heard the news about this, they never watched the original one. So yeah, they'll go back and they'll watch it. But I feel like this is going to be that for them. So my thing is, just to make it short and stuff like that, I'm open to it because it could surprise us. You know, we don't really know who's going to be in it. We don't know the synopsis, or it could be really, really terrible. And that's fine too. It's just, I will never watch it again. But I'm not going to, and not that you guys are saying this, but I just remember seeing this on Twitter. It's always Twitter. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, I'm not going to see it. They're not going to get my money, because they will. Yeah. I will give them my money. You know?
I mean, we're all going to see it. Does it make sense to me? No. That's why I say nay. It doesn't make sense because financially, just like Exorcist, those two franchises didn't have really a track record to choose of all but that being said, like you said, I mean, I'm curious, definitely curious. Curiosity killed the cat and then some, maybe. So yeah, we'll see. We shall see. And then speaking of more familiar IP that is coming back, the Scream franchise was back in theaters. Horror genre is continuing to dominate at the box office. Guess it feels like a good time to also resurrect the Scary Movie franchise. Paramount is doing just that with a brand new reboot movie, which is likely to arrive in theaters in 2025 because it's set to go into production this year. Scary Movie is being made as part of Paramount's first look partnership with Miramax, the studio behind the film franchise and also Scream, right? Miramax will fully finance the production, with Paramount handling distribution. The first Scary Movie, was released in 2000, with directed by Keenan Ivory Wayans. It was 4 years after Wes Craven reinvigorated the horror genre with Scream. And then the film parodied horror movies of the time, including Scream, I Know What You Did Last Summer, Blair Witch. Everything's a full circle in this episode. So yeah, it's scared up like $278 million at the worldwide box office and definitely kickstarted a whole like franchise of Scary Movie films that released between 2000 and 2013. So I kind of feel like it's been so long that it makes sense. What horror trends or movies do you think have to be included in this spoof? Like, what do you think that they would be missing if they didn't spoof it in a Scary Movie reboot?
Okay, so they have to have Talk to Me. You know, Barbarians. They have to add those in there. And I don't know what else.
Maybe X.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It needs to be in there. Just go ham.
I don't understand this move because I've never heard of a parody being rebooted. Like, ever. Like, I don't understand how you do reboot a parody because it's a parody. And the parody that exists in time as a certain thing. So it would only make sense to reboot it if they were rebooting all the original materials. Otherwise, they're just making another Scary Movie.
I mean, they say resurrects. I don't know.
Yeah, which makes sense, unless they're saying reboot because they're taking it completely out of the Wayans brothers' hands. maybe that's why they call it that creatively.
I mean, it's just the name. It's a name and a concept.
Yeah. I guess I'm just more nervous because it's been quite a while since Hollywood turned out a really good parody movie. You know, like I rewatched like Airplane the other day and Naked Gun. Like incorporating the ridiculous within the storyline, like with really good actors who are great straight men or straight women, you know, like that's for me where parody really lands, as opposed to like, ah, we're going to talk about bum fights now. Like what, how did you, why bump? Like, why is that? That was one of those, I can't remember what it's called.
I'm like,
movie
what?
Or epic movie. Well, there was this, and there still is, I think, this string of parody movies from like I'm assuming it's the same production company out there, like Date Movie or Epic Movie, that's just parodying genres now. And they're all really like, they're not subtle. So I think I'm more worried about
it. Well, they're not supposed to be subtle. Like, well, Scary Movie wasn't subtle either, but it was like the more outlandish, absurdist version of Scream. You know, Scream was commenting on the horror genre and its tropes, and then Scary Movie lampooned them. And I think there's so much, really starting with Jordan Peele's Get Out, that kind of started the renaissance.
Oh, Get Out! Get Out! Jordan Peele across the board will be parodied.
Right. Oh, so I'm like, sure. There's so much since this franchise dropped off that they could lampoon about horror these days that it's like, I'm not really worried. The only thing I'm worried about is like, I would like some of the original creators to be involved in some way, whether they're getting paid or hand selecting new talent. I don't know how it works out, but yeah.
Yeah. Listen, across the board, I'm hoping for the best from all three of these movies. At the end of the day, I don't understand how they're going to do Blair Witch or reboot the Scary Movie franchise. I'm still going to go see them in the theater because I want my money to go to studios to make, it's a weird line, right? Like, I'm going to go to this reboot so you have money to make new movies, not reboots, like original content.
Well, all the more reason to support the originals in theaters first.
That's true.
That's the priority.
Yep. All right, listeners, your turn. What are some of your irrational fears that you'd like to see on the big screen? Are there any movies that you consider precious and shouldn't be remade? Let's hear about them. You can call or text us at 224-475-1040. The number is also in the show notes, or feel free to email us at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com. Finally, Xena is going to make all our lives easier in the sea of horror movie options and clue us into what's appearing soon we should be watching. So, Xena, what should we be watching?
We do have a light week. So on Friday the 19th, Abigail. It's available in theaters, so check it out. Then also, Late Night with the Devil will be available on Shudder. John previously spoke about this one. A live television broadcast in 1977 goes horribly wrong, unleashing an evil into the nation's living rooms. Then on Saturday, the 20th, 420, Nature's Nightmares will be available on Shudder TV. So dig into the scary side of Mother Nature with nature-themed horror in honor of Earth Day, beginning on April 20th. At 6:40 a.m. through April 22nd on this. So again, this will be on Shudder TV live. And then Monolith, this will be available on Blu-ray and DVD. So this is about a headstrong journalist whose investigative podcast uncovers a strange artifact, an alien conspiracy, and lies at the heart of her own story. And then as always, Screenbox and Bloody Disgusting TV is available for you.
Nice. And that's the Bloody Disgusting podcast for this week. Everyone, if you'd like to read more from Megan, you can check out her reviews at bloodydisgusting.com and on Twitter at HauntedMeg. Xena can be found on our own website, realqueenofhorror.com, and the YouTube channel of the same name, or at Lovely Xena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my weekly horror narration podcast, Creepy, where we are still off at Creepaway Camp for all of April. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and feel free to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, at BDisgustingPod, or drop us an email at BDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out all things Bloody Disgusting on TikTok at BDisgusting. So for this week, I'm John.
I'm Megan.
I'm Xena.
Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.